On Tuesday, September 10th, we talked to a college professor about his new book in which he says computer algorithms are helping poison politics in America.
We started the show today talking about, you know, the role that the technology is playing in our lives and really in the political field and in what we see and what we read. Our next guest has been working in the field of artificial intelligence for 30 years, and we see movies like AI and we think artificial intelligence and we say, oh, that's nice. It's a fantasy, it's robots and everything, but our next guest says no. His new book is called Rage Inside the Machine: The Prejudice of Algorithms and How to Stop the Internet Making Bigots of Us All. Joining us from England is Dr. Robert Elliott Smith. Dr. Smith, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Paul. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. You know what? I started the show by promoting your appearance here and talking about a gentleman that called me yesterday about a story. He said, well, I read this. I said, well, how did you get that story? Where did you? Well, I saw it in my Facebook feed or this and the other. And I really started to smile because these algorithms, especially when it comes to social media and other parts of what we're exposed to, we really have to tread lightly and dangerously on these things, don't we?
We do indeed, and they have changed the way that we all see the world. The way that I see the world through my social media feed is entirely different from the way you see it. The search results I get are entirely different from your search results. The books and movies and entertainment suggested to me are entirely different from yours. And the things that are making those decisions about how to deliver us different content or our algorithms are basically computer programs, but they're ubiquitous computer programs that are monitoring us constantly and in my opinion, are helping to divide us.
Oh, absolutely, because I don't care, Dr. Smith, what side of the aisle you're on. I talked about this earlier in the first hour of the show here in Connecticut. You know, if you are tend to be a progressive person who dislikes Donald Trump and Republicans, the algorithm is going to give you stuff to feed your beast. If you are a right-leaning person, an NRA member who thinks everybody who cares about the environment is a tree hugger, well, guess what kind of stories you're going to get in your news feed.
Exactly. And the thing that I'm trying to tell people in the book is because of the nature of algorithms, they can't help but divide us on simplifying factors. They're going to look at us in a way that basically says, well, how can I basically understand this person? They don't have a deep human understanding. They have a base statistical understanding of people, and therefore they're going to divide people into groups. And the way that they do that is by looking at the things you like and the things you scroll past more slowly than others and the things that you read. So they divide you. Once we're divided, then we can be more easily influenced, not only through the emergent fact that effectively we'll get different kinds of stories because we've liked different things, but also because once we're divided, then people can target us. Interested entities can target us. It's a form of kind of digital gerrymandering. Once we're divided, we can be fed different kinds of news. And that's the reason why things like Cambridge Analytica were so effective. Mm-hmm. It's not because their AIs are so clever. This is the argument I'm making. It's not because they figured it out so well or because our AIs are so clever. It's because the way that we receive news now allows us to be divided in highly simplifying ways. And therefore, we can be segregated digitally, and then we can be gerrymandered through the influence that algorithms have on us through the news that they serve to us and the way people will then manipulate that division.
And again, Dr. Smith, Dr. Robert Elliott Smith is the guest. The book, The Rage Inside the Machine. I think you said it beautifully there. You know, algorithms are algorithms. They don't have feelings. They're not left or right, up or down, liberal or conservatives. It's a process. It's a binary process that information in gets swished around and information comes out. You can't blame the machine. You can't blame the process here.
Well, you can't, but it is important to understand that, quantifying human beings, trying to basically measure human beings with numerical yardsticks, mm-hmm. statistical yardsticks, and then basically placing them into categories based on that has been something we've been doing in scientific social science for, at least 100 or more years. Mm-hmm. The thing about that kind of thinking is it's very useful as long as we keep our eye on the ball and realize that people are very complicated. Those ideas of basically measuring and quantifying and categorizing people have never been very far from intolerance, from racism, from misogyny. They've never been very far from that, and they've always been used for those kind of things. What has changed now is this is a great deal of this quantifying and generalizing and categorizing people that's going on entirely autonomously,
yeah,
without human intervention and without human feeling. And therefore, the idea that we're being divided is out of our control and out of our consideration. And, you know, this is something about which we all should be pretty concerned.
And it's kind of like, Doctor, you can almost liken it to the debate that goes on about space exploration. Well, you know, we can send a computer to do it. We can send unmanned probes who are not feeling, there's no human element there that can ruin a mission. They can go there, they can make the calculations, they have their own guidance system, they can suck up the data and come home or send it to us. However, the human element there, the ability to put emotion and feelings to things that machine is doing is not there, correct?
Sure, and the thing I really... One of the reasons I want to speak with some authority from the idea of having used AI as a part of my career for 30 years, you know, the thing is that quantifying tools and statistical measures and things are extremely useful. They're the kind of things that have made us more advanced creatures. However, when you point them at highly complex things, like, for instance, people and societies, then you're treating something that's a touchy-feely, highly complex thing with really strict and simplifying ways of looking at it. So I'm not worried about moon probes going out and looking at rocks and making decisions about them. When you make decisions about ethics and people and morals and society and politics and economics, then I think the human element has to be included in a way that it doesn't have to be when you're looking at nuts and bolts and rocks.
Dr. Robert Elliott Smith is the guest. The name of the book is Rage Inside the Machine, The Prejudice of Algorithms and How to Stop the Internet Making Bigots of Us All. Doctor, before we take a break here, for the person that might be listening that kind of gets what AI is but might not quite understand it from a nuts and bolts perspective, can you just give us your thoughts as to what AI does and the basic structure of, say, an AI program and how it would work, say, in a Google search?
Okay, it's complicated because the term artificial intelligence has meant different things as time goes by. It changes all the time. I actually prefer the term pseudo-intelligence, by the way, but not many people call it that. But however, the AI is a moving yardstick. What it is today is not what it was in the 70s, but what it is today largely is you take the great amount of data that's generated by people's interaction on the internet. Mm-hmm. You ingest that and you basically use some mathematical functions to basically figure out statistical things about it and then make generalizations and make categorizations. The main thing that's going on in AI today is basically automated extraction of statistics from large amounts of data. Then it's basically saying, okay, now that I've got these statistics, can I group together, in this case we're talking about people, group together people into different groups based on similarities. That's really all most AI is doing when it's applied to people today. Mm-hmm. It is simultaneously that simple, but also incredibly complex because it's doing it on such vast data and at such high speeds. That's what it's, you know, the thing I try to say about AI is it's terribly simple-minded.
Yeah.
But the size of what it's doing is intractable for human beings.
Are social networks like Twitter, like Facebook, search engines like Google, would you say they are misusing AI?
No, I don't think they're misusing AI. I think that, I think, first of all, I think it's good to define what those things are. Social media is a media company. Search engines are basically libraries. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they really are. Now, in social media, it's a media company. It's basically a media company that serves information through automated algorithms. That's fine, But the thing is when it has a certain kind of dynamics that that affect us, and we should be aware of those dynamics. Those, you know, Marshall McLuhan many years ago said about broadcast media that the media was the message.
Oh,
the
yes.
message of social
yep.
media is that it has tendencies to basically place people in echo chambers and filter bubbles that we all know about. People only hear one point of view because of the nature of the media. So what's necessary, in my opinion, is that we regulate, control, and behave differently in response to that media. So there's things we can do at the level of government regulation, there's things we can do at the level of corporate control, and there's things that we can do at the level of our individual behavior to change that media. That's necessary, because when the broadcast media came out, you know, broadcast media very quickly became politicized. In the early days of radio, there was politicization of the media. And then the Fairness Doctrine emerged, which existed for many years from the 1940s to the 1980s, where effectively it was thought that the bandwidth of broadcast media, like radio, like we're on right now, had to be regulated, because otherwise someone could monopolize it and then basically dominate people's attention and feed them only a certain kind of news in a particular area. And like you're having primaries, it could effectively sway elections. So there was a mandate by the federal government to make sure that people, that broadcasters had to be fair, and that fairness was judged by a commission, in effect. Now, that went away in the 1980s. The reason it went away is because it was thought that when cable news emerged, mm-hmm. that bandwidth restrictions were not important anymore, that effectively, you know, that the airwaves bandwidth was infinite because you can have more and more cable channels, so don't worry about that anymore, and they got rid of the Fairness Doctrine. Now, I would argue that today, attentional bandwidth, the bandwidth we all have in looking at our media,
yep.
is as limited as the bandwidth of the airwaves was in the 1940s. And therefore, I believe that it's fair for reasonable, well-informed, scientifically informed regulation to be applied to the social media giants. Similarly for search engines are librarians. We wouldn't have librarians that we wouldn't have a union of international librarians that feed us particular books based on what's
sure.
going to make them money. So it does require a certain amount of regulation. However, regulation is going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what's important that we all do now is that we all realize what's going on with our media. You know, a lot of people, my elderly father-in-law doesn't really understand that his news feed is responsive to yeah, he doesn't know.
I know, and you know, no, yeah, and I, you know, doctor, you're right, because it's not the world he grew up in.
That's right. And I, you know, I feel for, I try to explain it to him, and it's a lot for him to take in. The idea that, for instance, you know, when he clicks on something, that stores something somewhere that,
yep.
that's being measured about him. And for reasons of both commerce and power, people can use that to try to influence him. He doesn't know that. And everybody needs to know that. And then my big picture advice for people on social media in terms of how to change the way it acts is, we need to act less like algorithms. We need to behave more like human beings in our social media. And what that means, unfortunately, one of the things people don't want to hear is it means, I know you can't refriend and unblock the people who offend you most. However, people who only offend you a little, refriend them, unblock them. Because it opens up our simulations that I've done with students at UCL, where I'm a professor, mm-hmm. it basically have shown that the more we open up the channels between people, the more this effect of filter bubbles and echo chambers goes away. So it's important to do that as much as you're able. And just if something they post offends you, scroll by it.
Yeah.
Don't unblock them.
You know, doctor, we're at times a little short here, but it's true. You know, there are people that agree with me politically, that don't agree with me politically, but, you know, and I've had people unfriend me because of stuff. And, you know, these are some people I've known for years and I used to work
yeah.
with. But then again, I have people who, you know, like I'll post something and they'll put a laugh emoji or something like that. You're right, though. It comes down to our personal behavior, knowing that we may not have lived with the same life experiences that our other people have. And I said yesterday, in talking about for politics, especially on Facebook, I said, don't buy everything you read. And if you're a conservative,
absolutely,
go out of your way to read some liberal sites. I do it every day. If you're a liberal, go out of the way and read some conservative sites.
I would say, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And another thing that you should do is, I don't just share on headlines. Read the actual story.
Yes.
And when you read the stories, pay attention to who published it and who wrote it, because my theory is that's formulating a more human relationship. If you have a human relationship with a publisher or with a writer, and you visit them again and you learn more about them, you learn about their backgrounds, you're forging these human relationships that basically allow us to have a more human form of interaction, as opposed to an interaction. If we behave like algorithms, we just look at headlines, we look at emotiveness only, and we just blast stuff out, we're aiding the process of forming echo chambers and filter bubbles rather than trying to impede it through our more human interaction. The other thing I would say is, when you share, try to make an insightful comment along with the sharing.
Yeah, exactly.
That puts more humanity into the interaction.
Dr. Robert Elliott Smith, thank you so much. The book Rage Inside the Machine, The Prejudice of Algorithms and How to Stop the Internet Making Bigots of Us All. Doctor, thank you for the time. We know you're overseas and it's much later where you are. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Paul. I enjoyed it.
Thanks.